The excerpt that I just read you was a long time ago and far away, 1573, England, Act of Parliament. But it was not so long ago that even in the United States, women were barred from speaking in public, both in religious and also in political settings. Among the first women to speak in public were anti-slavery activists. Two of these were the Grimke sisters, Angelina and Sarah Grimke. At first, they addressed other women in homes, like around 1836, but then they moved to churches, which were public places, and men could attend their lectures as well. Communications researchers Carlin Kors Campbell and E. Claire Gerry write about this, and what I'm saying here comes from their book. They quote a pastoral letter from the time decrying this development, and here's a quote from Campbell and Gerry. The appropriate duties of women, as stated in the New Testament, are, quote, unobtrusive and private. When she assumes the place and tone of a man as a public performer, her character becomes unnatural. If the vine, whose strength and beauty is to lean upon the trellis work and half conceal its clusters, thinks to assume the independence of the elm, it will not only cease to bear fruit, but fall in shame and dishonor into dust. So this is Campbell and Gerry quoting a pastoral letter from the 1800s when women began to address groups of audiences, not just in homes where it was only other women they were talking to, but actually in public where they might talk to men because it was in churches. This pastoral letter draws a distinction where women are like vines and they have to lean on the trellis. The elm stands on its own, it's independent. If women talk in public, they're trying to be like men, and this is going to bring shame and dishonor upon them. This shows the very interesting interconnection among assumptions about how women should behave and assumptions about talking in public, and what it means for the woman to want to talk in public, that she not only wants to communicate ideas, but wants to be like a man. And she's too independent, which in itself is threatening. Early suffragists and anti-slavery activists outraged society not only by the policies they were advocating, but by the very fact they were speaking in public. In 1852, this is mid-19th century, a woman named Clarina Howard Nichols became the first woman to address the Vermont State Legislature. Her request to speak in favor of a bill allowing women to vote in school district meetings. Now, of course, this is not surprising. Very often, women's public activity starts in the realm of education. So she asked to speak in favor of a bill allowing women to vote in school district meetings. Her request was called at the time, I love this expression, quote, a scramble for the britches. Isn't that great? A scramble for the britches. In other words, she's trying to dress like a man. I think that gives us a clue as to why it so upset people when women spoke in public that they were trying to act like men. That detail about Clarina Howard Nichols speaking to the Vermont State Legislature comes from a book by Madeline Cunin, who was the first woman governor of Vermont. Later, she was Assistant Secretary of Education and then Ambassador to Switzerland. In a memoir called Living a Political Life, Madeline Cunin talks about her own experience entering public life. And she mentions that the most difficult and the most important element in her transformation from private citizen to public person, the hardest thing for her to accomplish was learning to speak in public. And she's very eloquent in explaining why she found it so hard. And this is a quote from Madeline Cunin's book, Living a Political Life. The fearful idea that by speaking out, I would no longer be a good girl, that my words might antagonize those who heard me, was deeply rooted. If I said the wrong thing at the wrong time, I risked punishment. I might not be liked. Worse yet, I would not be loved. In this passage, Governor Cunin articulates those interweaving threads, the expectation that a good girl does not speak up in public, and the fear that she might get an agonistic response. These two forces are inseparable in the minds of many women. In describing how she did manage to become accustomed to public speaking, Governor Cunin explains that she had to learn to deal with conflict. And I'm quoting her again, "No matter how politically skilled one became, controversy could not be avoided. Speaking out always carried a price."